Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. The official 2024 Formula One season has begun. We have had our first proper session. No more testing, kind of testing, it's practice, but still, delusion is well and truly infecting all of our brains, Tom Bellingham, as we dive into our thoughts on what went on in practice today.
Even though we know that practice doesn't matter and we've seen it before and, you know, don't look too much into this, don't look too much into that, because it's the first one of the season, it was so difficult not to, like, be baited every single time, like, oh, my God, a Haas the goats? Oh, my God, Haas are 5 seconds off. Oh, my God, this.
No one ever thought a Haas the goats at any point during... well, no, I guess he was a tenth off at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah, Hulk, in FP2, but yeah, it's wild. Every little thing gets incredibly overanalyzed, but at least it's made the expectations maybe a little bit more exciting and got us a little bit more hyped for the season.
Let's start with FP1 then, shall we? And reflect on it a little bit. It's not a representative session. It's done in the soaring heat of daytime Bahrain. But, you know, we're going to say that Daniel Ricciardo was, of course, fastest in the RB V-Carb Racing Bulls. What, apparently now it's RB or Racing Bulls.
People saying RB, but I'm just like, oh no, because I tweeted it earlier saying RB and then everyone was like, oh, I thought you meant Red Bull. It's just like, oh, I just want V-Carb to catch on, but I don't think it's going to, sadly.
No, I don't think it is either. But Danny Rick was fastest because he was on the softs. The McLarens also went on the softs, as did Yuki Tsunoda. But then that pack below that, it was very, very close with the medium runners, which was, I guess, again, it was FP1. You're like, no, you know, they're not probably pushing, or you know, they're just doing some aero rake testing or whatever.
It's funny because when Max went fastest, everyone was like, championship over. And then as soon as he got close again, it was like, oh, there's
Well, we were doing a Twitch watch along, and I literally, when Max went fastest by 6/10 of a second, I left the room and started doing some voodoo stuff with this particular Red Bull that I have to try and slow it down. But apparently it's worked since then, because we've got a lot to talk about. Question from Ed Smalen. If V-Car performs well, how long will it take for other teams to start whining about it?
Already have.
Let's not get too excited about V-Carb, even though I have put them in my entire Formula One fantasy team on Grid Rival. Both drivers and the constructor is V-Carb.
Wow.
Mainly because they're cheap, and I also think it could be good efficiency for money. But yes, I don't think they're going to be as good as maybe we're all excited about. I think, you know, Danny Rick getting the headlines. The last time he topped a session was Monza 2021 and all this sort of stuff and, you know, excitement building. But realistically, the soft tyre is 1.2 seconds quicker than the mediums. And he topped the timing sheets by like 3/10. It was nothing.
Yeah. What was interesting, though, is the fact that the V-carbs were basically battling McLaren, who also did the softs when they did those runs. And there was part of me that thought, my word, because Zac Brown is one of the people that have been the most vocal about how he doesn't think it's fair and stuff. So very interesting. But again, like, as is always the case in Bahrain, it's such different conditions in FP1 to the rest of the session. Even if you take out the fact that like you say, people are running softs, people are running mediums, it's still the fact that it's not, the conditions are nothing like we're going to get into qualifying and even the race. So it's hard to take too much into it.
Now, before we dive into any more and go to Free Practice 2, I've got two shout-outs, okay? So listen up. First and foremost, I never ask for you to subscribe, but we really want to get to 500,000 subscribers. That's such a beautiful, gorgeous number. So please, if you want to come along with us on this adventure throughout this weekend and this whole season and future seasons, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. We'd love to have you here as part of the P1 family. And secondly, my second shout-out is thank you, McLaren, for this lovely gift box set, which included the jumper, and you got a hoodie, didn't you, Tommy, to kind of celebrate DTS and the upcoming Formula One season. So thank you so much, McLaren. It's a very lovely jumper. And thirdly, actually, there's another shout out. P1 live show tickets. P1 live show tickets are available. We'd love to see you in the middle of April, and it looks like we're going to get the greatest season of all time in Formula One. So what better than to come to a live show where you can meet fellow Formula One fans and ourselves and have a great time. So yeah, link will be in the description for that as well, or anywhere on social media, just on our link tree. Right, let's get into Free Practice 2 then, shall we? Oh my God. So Free Practice 1, Tommy, we're like, yeah, whatever. Free Practice 2 is known as the representative session. This is the one where it is the most like qualifying in the race because it's done as it goes into nighttime. It's cooler, it's faster. This was the session for teams to do their low fuel quali sims. And what did we get? A Mercedes 1-2. How's that biggest flop coming along, Tommy?
Yeah, I know. What's amazing is how like everyone's so hyped. And if you, at this order essentially, and if you put that Verstappen would be first, Perez second by 2/10, and they were 3/10 clear, the field would all be saying it's over. What a rubbish season we're about to have. But the fact that what a difference time makes that Mercedes 1-2, and we're all hyped about it.
So true, isn't it? Question from P1 Patreon member D Mystic. Are Mercedes back? Now, I contemplated tweeting Mercedes are back, which I've done several times over the years. But I
50% of the questions were this.
Yes, I just didn't fancy stirring the pot. Are Mercedes back? Look, okay, let's dive into these times a little bit more closely. Haas have looked washed since the moment they rolled out of the garage for 2024. And Nico Hülkenberg's managed to thrust himself up to P7 in that Haas. The literal team principal has said that they're going to be at the back.
Well, you don't think the Haas are 4/100 slower than Red Bull? No.
Let me finish my point, Tom Bellingham, without your sarcasm. but that, I think that is probably the biggest indicator for those times being hardly anything because of the fact their own team, unless Haas have, you know, rolled out this car that they're hoping was good, and it actually is much better than the team principal ever wished for, and they're actually decent. I think it's more the first theory that I came up with, that Haas are still reasonably washed. But then, look, we'll see. It's still exciting, definitely. Are Mercedes back? God knows. It's a good sign. It's a good sign that we're, at least they will fight in the sort of second, third fastest team area. Fernando Alonso as well, just thrusting himself into the mix as he does. It's too early to say because I really don't want my head on the end of a stake, the car, an actual stake, because I've said that Mercedes
head on
are back.
A stake. Yeah, I mean, let's not forget Mercedes were that team that were, you know, they've done this many times before. I think it was even 2020 when they weren't very good. They love to top a Friday practice session. So we have seen it before, but there's hope because we all thought that Red Bull, and they still could be a million miles ahead. But yeah, it's certainly a lot more of an interesting scenario going into tomorrow because, yeah, it was exciting to see it changing constantly throughout the day.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Next question from Space Manly. How long until Red Bull decides to crush our hopes and dreams? Look, I'm more optimistic than I was previous. If Max was like second and Perez fourth, just pack your bags. It's done. Take care, honestly. Like, just go and watch a different sport. No, don't. Please don't. Please watch P1. But Max down in sixth, Perez down in 10th. It's kind of at the level where I'm like, would Max genuinely want... Because Max is Max. He will go as fast as he wants, whenever he wants. And I feel as though there are some struggles there. We saw it. Max was saying in free practice one that the car was bleep and he wasn't happy with the car. And I don't feel like there was many positive sentiments coming from either side of the garage in Red Bull. So I think there are some struggles. And look, they've brought a whole new concept to that Red Bull racing car. This is not the same car as they had last year. And that was a risk that they have potentially taken. I'm going to be eating my words when they're on pole by a second tomorrow. But right now, yeah, they might well be struggling. I'm more leaning, and when I say more, 80% leaning towards that they will crush our hopes and dreams, but 20%, that was 2% before free practice too. So it's that a high. Bigger window of hopium, yes.
That high, 2%. Yeah, I think we don't know. Like, I don't think there's any way that it wasn't genuine, the stuff that Max was saying about, you know, the fact that he's struggling and things like that, because they want to understand this new concept. And even if Max is ahead of everyone, I think he even was at that point when he was complaining that the car wasn't very good.
Yes, he was.
Just shows that, like, he knows what that car can deliver. So there's more potential there. But, yeah, it certainly made it a lot more interesting, because it did look like they were going to be miles ahead. And even if they do, I think they were talking about how they were doing a long run during that session, and they looked very, very good. But maybe, you know, their quali pace again, because let's not forget last year, Max wasn't on pole every single race. It was a bit more close in that sense. And that does make the racing a bit more interesting when, you know, we've seen teams dominate in the past, but they normally dominate from pole position. So if it is close in qualifying and they can't run away with it in qualifying, it makes it a lot more exciting, at least for the racing. So, yeah, there's a lot more hope, I think, for fans than they thought at the start of the day.
Yeah, and we thought coming into this that it'd be Ferrari that would probably be the team to take a pole position in Bahrain. And Carlos up in fourth, you know, reasonable time. Charles Leclerc, did he fancy ever getting a clean run for a lap ever? Like, that man was either locking up or finding some kind of traffic on the apex of turn one or into the downhill double left-hander. It was a difficult session, I think, for Charles to get a lap together. Another driver as well that struggled was Lando Norris, trying to get a lap together. He literally finished last of everybody because he aborted his laps that he was trying to do. I'm hoping this isn't foreshadowing Lando's season this year, where they have a good car and he does make these mistakes. Because of course, you know, you look back to last year, there were moments that you know were fantastic opportunities for the race had he hooked up qualifying. So yeah, we will have to wait and see. But McLaren not looking as bad as some people might have thought they were looking at certain times. So we'll see. World champion Lando Norris soon come. P1 Patreon member Ruben Nuss. With FP2 being representative times, what teams do you think are sandbagging, if not all of them? I saw someone saying on Twitter, oh yeah, but Carlos did a 29.9 in testing, so there's loads more time. And it's like, well, that was actually on a softer compound than what is available this weekend. So that was, I think, the C4 or C5 that he did, whereas they're literally running the C1, C2, C3 this weekend. So it's a much higher step in terms of hardness of compound. And there was an interesting conversation that we've brought up maybe once or twice on the podcast around steps of compound. And Karun and Crofty were saying that they wish that they'd, you know, that they'd be a bit more risky with and a bit more adventurous with the compounds that are chosen for weekends. Why not have a C1, a C3 and a C4 or a C3 and a C5? Mix it up a bit so that you have these big pace differentials in the races. And I think that would also promote more overtaking. It's not as artificial as we've seen in the past when Pirellis were degrading in three laps and then drivers were hitting the cliff. It would be more of a, all right, they're going to be fast at this part of the race. They're going to be fast at this part of the race. I quite like that as an idea.
I do as well, yeah. We've had, it's something that they've said to Pirelli and sort of like, we've mentioned that many a times and Pirelli is still like, no, the hardest compound possible and all three of the same.
Yeah, they're just scared of blowing up, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. They're too scarred from things like 2013 Silverstone and whatever from that time where they're kind of a bit of a laughing stock. And you do understand because they're in Formula One to showcase what great tyres they have. And they're there. We want it to be entertaining, but Pirelli as a company don't want to have a reputation that their tyres blow up because they're trying to sell road car tyres as well. So it doesn't make sense. So that is tough for them to do it, however much it is annoying for us fans, because it could be a lot better and more exciting in that way. In terms of sandbagging, it's, you know, impossible to say at the moment because I don't think the field is going to be this spread out. Like Lando is not going to be 2.2 seconds off the pace. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But the thing is, Red Bull, there's a lot of talk that they've not whacked their engine up yet, but we will just never know until we get to qualifying, and that is the beauty of the first race.
I think when you actually look at the classification of FP2, it looks roughly okay. Yeah, I think Red Bull are the only outlier in terms of when you look at the performance, you go, all right, yeah, Sauber down there. Alpine again, I mean, for any Alpine fans out there, you know, you're going to be quite worried, I think, with the 16th and 18th in FP2, and you would hope that they are also not fully whacking up their engines, but they've not looked great since the start of 2024 either, really. So we will have to wait and see. But I think generally that order doesn't look too crazy in terms of, oh, you've got an RB up in P2 or anything like that. It looks relatively normal.
Yeah, and Hülkenberg, we know that he does have that one lap pace in him. So while I was bantering about Haas being really close to Red Bull, you know, Hülkenberg has qualified second for a Grand Prix once, which is wild in a Haas. So it can happen, and yeah, it's made me very excited for qualifying. Very excited indeed, because it doesn't. It's not that spoiler, is it? That is that exciting of the unknown until we get like. I almost don't want to know from practice. I like the fact that it's kept
us guessing. Don't watch them, mate. Don't watch. You know, just stop it there.
No, I like watching it.
Stop FP2. FP2, that's it. The whole season, that was a great season. Mercedes.
Congratulations. Yeah, Lewis Hamilton on the championship. Nico Hülkenberg, P7 overall.
What a P7. What a great driver's championship standing for him. final question. Juan Pablo SF1. Is Alpine the worst team on the grid? Well, we've just reflected on them a little bit. I'm convinced that Haas, at least in race pace, will probably be the worst. I think they'll be very similarly, well, by FP2, it looks like they might have some one-lap pace, but I'm not convinced by their race pace. I think Kick Sauber are also not looking great. Any onboard we saw with them looked, quite frankly, horrendous. But Alpine could very well be eighth fastest. I genuinely believe that. I think RB are going to be strong this year. I think Williams are going to be strong this year. Shout out to Logie Bear, four tenths off Alex Albon, up in P13. I think Alpine are maybe in for a difficult season if they don't pick it up.
Yeah, of course, Alpine, we know that they were, you know, they had problems with their engine and essentially the speed of it, that they were lagging behind with the rest of it. And if they've also not built a great car, they're going to have a horrible time. They do look like they've gone further backwards. They were in that kind of no man's land last year, weren't they, where it was, you know, you had the Red Bull the top top teams, then Alpine just sat not fighting anyone, and then you had the bottom four teams. So it looks like Alpine are going to potentially be even worse than that. So it will, it'd be absolutely insane if they were the worst team on the grid. I still don't think it's that bad, but I wouldn't put it out of the question.
Yeah, I mean, but even being this slow is a disaster for them, right? You know, we saw
Survive.
Their ambitions, getting to the top three in the championship and all this sort of stuff, and they've been slowly falling the last couple of years. And then you get to this year, and if they are genuinely eighth fastest, then I wouldn't mind having a you know, dedicated Alpine episode just to see what is going on and how another, many mini fires are going on in the inside of their headquarters.
Yeah, just think about Pierre Gasly, like going from RB to Alpine, thinking he's moved up the grid and he's now going to drive this competitive team, and then they've like fallen off big time. That'd be a good episode. DTS,
that would be,
write it down.
Yeah. And Gasly has been quite vocal previously when he was with Red Bull and being thrown around then. So I imagine he would be quite honest with his words should Alpine genuinely be the eighth fastest team on the grid. And that sums it up. We are less than 24 hours away from actual qualifying, seeing actual cars going fast without sandbags on. Will Red Bull be on pole by a minute, or will we see an exciting grid for Saturday's race? What do you think, Tommy? What are your thoughts right now? Your final thought is, are Red Bull fastest, yes or no?
Are Red Bull fastest? Maybe.
Quali,
I think it's
going to
be a lot. Yeah, in the race, yes. In quali, I think it'd be close. And I'm really hyped for qualifying. Yeah, I've missed this a lot. All the kind of banter that we've had and the doom and gloom. And yeah, Red Bull may win, you know, the first race and maybe even get a 1-2. But like, boy, is it good to have F1 back. Like,
oh, it's good. The unknowns, the conversations, the opinions that turn out to be terrible. I can't wait. A whole nother year with you, mate. I'm so ready for it. Lock yourself in. Get
the tennis podcast
on.
Is on hold for now.
Tennis podcast on hold for at least another day. So we'll see how far Max Verstappen wins on Saturday. And that's it. Thank you so much, everybody. Lots of love, and we'll see you soon. And remember, Twitch as well. We'll be live on Twitch for qualifying and the race. Bye.
Bye.
Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're MattP1Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews, and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.